As you all probably know, if you've been following me for a while, I have a lot of money in student debt. I went to medical school and I owe almost $500,000 to the government as a result of my medical school tuition and all of the loans that I took for my undergrad. And we had a 2-year freeze in those payments. And over the last month, I started getting those emails again from Nelnet. You owe, you're late on your payment. And there's a lot of doctors that I know that are going through the exact same thing with high volume student loans, and no one knows what to do. It is a mass hysteria out there. So I went seeking answers. I watched every YouTube video that I could get my hand on, trying to figure out what people are doing with these high volume student loans. And I could not find anything publicly accessible, nothing on YouTube, nothing valuable for me anyways. And then I came by a company that seemed to have some answers, and I scheduled a call with them. And lo and behold, there were answers for me. So I reached out to the owner of said company and asked him if he could spend some time with me and my audience explaining to people like myself who do have high volume student loans and don't know what to do, what options are available to you out there. So Zach Geist, he's the founder of Student Loan Tutor, and he's here with me to share some of that information with you. Welcome, Zach.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Jay. Yeah, I hear this quite often. People are, really surprised that there could be someone that seems to have answers when so many people are very confused and it's so muddled in the information space. And if anybody's tried to contact their student loan servicers to get answers, or talk to their friends, you're going to notice very quickly that there's all sorts of different answers, and they can't all be correct, clearly. So yeah, happy to be here and happy to help shed some light on this. I want to maybe preface with saying that none of this is to be construed as individual advice to anyone's particular situation, because each situation is nuanced. But I could definitely shed some light into the breadth of information that is available and just the ways to really reduce the amount of pressure and burden that student loans is having on any individual person.
Thank you, Zach. And yeah, I spent about 2 hours yesterday with one of your staff. His name's Kevin. Had an amazing conversation. I was mind blown by some of the information that's out there that I could not get my hands on. As somebody who is pretty good at getting information on their own, this is something that I did not know about prior to that conversation. So I was very excited and even more excited to have this conversation today. But just want to preface to the listeners who are on right now that this information is amazing, that there's real stuff out there that you probably haven't seen before and real options for you that you haven't seen before. So Zach, walk me through the landscape of student loans. How did we get here? What is the structure and why?
Well, there's a lot of theories about how we got here. One is making higher education possible for every American. I think that was part of the New Deal, if I remember correctly. And then we also got here by increasing. And I hope there's not too much background noise. Normally, I have this really amazing microphone in my studio, and I'm today not in that. So,
We'll enhance you up. Don't worry.
yeah, great. So there's that issue of everybody qualifying to take out mass amounts of money without any creditworthiness. And then you have added to that increasing cost of living in general going up. You have also colleges competing as businesses for greater for the student base, which to market to a 16 or 17-year-old is very different from marketing to somebody that's much older, especially when they're paying you with money that they're not even having to earn nor having to qualify to be able to borrow from. So you take all that mixed together, and you have what is our current student loan crisis, which is now I think 1.6 trillion, 1.8 trillion. I don't know. I haven't looked in the last few months. It's somewhere up there, give or take a couple hundred billion.
So it's funny. I think the only people who reach out to help you when you have these student loans are companies who want to help you refinance your loans. And if you have
Yeah.
federally held student loans, that's a big mistake, right?
Almost always. So I've been doing
Right.
this for 10 years, and I could count on 2 hands, and I've helped tens of thousands of borrowers. Where my advice to them was, you know what makes sense for you is refinancing your federal student loans into private student loans. And if you're listening, that should sound shocking. You should think like, well, clearly Zach is talking to people that just don't have good credit, and that's not the case. Or people that just don't have high income. That's also not the case. The reason that it doesn't make sense to refinance your federal student loans almost always to private student loans for almost everybody is because people are not understanding the difference between stated interest rate and effective interest rate. And if I would say that there's a crux of what I'm going to explain that's going to create some understanding, it's going to be the understanding of the difference between stated and effective interest rate. Now, what's really simple is generally an interest rate's an interest rate. If your interest rate's 5.6, it's either 5.6% fixed or it's 5.6 variable, right? And variable means like it might be fixed for 2 years and then it adjusts based on some other peg. It's pegged to some type of adjustment based on how something else is performing, often something called LIBOR, right? Now, when it comes to student loans, there's the stated interest rate, which is the actual interest rate that is determined by the feds when you borrowed, and it could never be changed. You can't refinance with the federal government. Like that interest rate is fixed permanently at that amount. That's your stated interest rate. Now, your effective interest rate is what you're going to actually pay on your federal student loans. And that's what you're going to, and you're not going to know exactly what that is until your student loans are paid off or forgiven and a tax implication is assessed. Then you'll know what your effective interest rate was. Before that, all you could do is figure out what your effective interest rate forecast will be. And that's going to shift. I mean, it's going to shift year over year. And that's why we meet with clients every single year to figure out what in the heck is their effective interest rate. And so that's what we did with you, I would imagine, is figured out what is it you're going to pay on your student loans if things remain as you imagine that they are right now over the life of your loan. And if there's a tax implication, how much is it going to be? What if you borrowed X amount? At the end, you're going to have paid Y amount. Y amount is often less than the amount borrowed, which if you think of it, that's an effective interest rate that is negative. So you could actually have a negative 10%, negative 50% interest rate. Now, if you have a negative interest rate, is there any bank, an investor, right? A bank has investors that invest in this, right? And they're investing. So would they ever offer a negative interest rate? And the answer to that question is clearly no. So unless you find a bank that's going to offer you a negative interest rate, like your parents, or someone that, you know, a sugar daddy or a sugar mama, then you're not going to get you're not going to beat, for the most part, what the federal benefits are going to be from taking advantage of income-driven repayment and student loan forgiveness and the subsidies that are present in some of these plans and doing it intelligently, which right. That's the big caveat right there, is doing that intelligently.
And with people who know what to do to submit things right and make sure that you stay out of trouble. So yeah. The real core here, and this is something that I already knew about prior, that these programs existed. I was enrolled in the Payee program, PAYE, mm-hmm. which is one of those income-driven repayment programs that the government makes available to you for federally held loans. Mm-hmm. This is one of the things I think Biden just changed too. He added some SAVE program and some qualifications to that. Yep. But Zach, with that being kind of the main tool for borrowers with large volume student loans, can you explain those tools that the government's made available to us?
Yeah, there's a couple things. Well, this is where it gets people. There's something in science called or in statistics, I believe, or neuroscience or psychology. I guess it's psychology called heuristics, where people understand a more simple understanding of something rather than understanding the whole, but then they forget that they really just have a simple understanding. So I hear so often people go, I have income-based repayment. I've got this figured out. And like, well, income-based repayment is one of the number of, you could say as many as 6 or 7 income-driven repayment plans that one could have had over the time of the loans. And they all operate differently. They all have different requirements, similar to in corporate status. So you could have an LLC, you could have an S corporation, you could have a C corporation, you have a limited partnership, right? Like these are all, you can't just say, I'm not a sole proprietor. Like that's true. You're not a sole proprietor, but then what are you? And then in that, do you have partners? Do you not have partners? What is your fiscal year? Do you have loans that you're paying back? So it works similarly with student loans. So there is something called the SAVE program that came out. That's one of the many income-driven repayment plans. And there's benefits that payee would have over SAVE. There's benefits that SAVE would have over payee. SAVE, for example, has a really big benefit. And it's so big that I know people don't understand it because people would be really excited if they really understood it. For many of our clients, what's happening for their student loans now, after the student loan freeze has lifted, is the same thing that was happening during the student loan freeze. I'm going to repeat that. What's happening effectively for them during now that the active repayments are happening, is the same exact thing that it was happening when the student loans were frozen. Are their student loans frozen? No, but many of them are in a $0 payment and their interest is 0%. Now, why is their interest 0%? It's not actually 0%. If you look at their loan, it doesn't say 0%, but SAVE, for the first time ever, if you don't, whatever you don't pay towards interest, that interest is forgiven at the end of the month. So if you paid $0, how much money did you pay to service interest? Zero. How much money did you put to service the principal? Zero. So how much interest accrues? None, because it's all forgiven. How much interest might have accrued if you had 300 grand of student loans? Maybe, you know, 1800 bucks that month. But it's pretty cool that that goes away. So I think it's really important that people that have federal student loans, they must take the time to understand this. And if they want to do their research on their own, I don't really know of a good pathway to do that. Maybe grab the National Consumer Law Center book and treaty on student loan law and read that. Another alternative is to find an attorney that works with student loans. I'd recommend working with us. We've been doing this longer and with more people. I'm biased, so don't take my opinion. Like, clearly I'm gonna say I'm the best. So do your due diligence and, you know, take the Pepsi challenge, so to speak, and research who's out there who could really do it. You know, look at what they've done, look at who their clients are, look at how long they've been doing it. Make sure they're compliant. Compliance is a major issue with this. And we have full-time compliance attorney on staff. Carry a lot of insurance, and we've been doing this for the better part of a decade. So just under a decade now.
That's funny. You compared it to LLCs and S-corps and write-offs, and I completely see that. Because the difference is everybody's got a CPA. That's a major industry. So you know who you can go to and ask specific financial questions. They can look at your situation and say, you should have this as an LLC and this should be an S-corp. You should pay that. And here's how you can deduct that. For student loans, those experts don't really exist as a market. So
they don't. Most of our relationships, I don't know if you heard about us through. No, you said you had just done your own research. I would say probably 40-50% of all of our clients come from CFPs and financial advisors, CPAs, enrolled agents that do tax preparation. They come across clients and they go, oh my goodness, you've got this, you know, gigantic monstrosity, loan officers, right? You've got this gigantic loan, your debt to income is just way off. And they've heard about us, you know, over the years, and they say, hey, talk to these guys. And we say, hey, okay, great. Your debt to income is this, but this is the way that we could shift how your debt to income is viewed. We submit the documentation to their underwriters, and then all of a sudden they're able to buy a house when previously they weren't able to do that. So yeah, we do aspects of financial planning as well that expanded out from student loans. But the nexus of what we do and the core of what we do was working with people who are highly educated, who have, you know, a significant amount of student debt, that are intelligent, that want to manage this in an intelligent way, the way that they manage the rest of their lives, which is why they've gotten through medical school. Like, there's a big hurdle to get through to get there. So those clients work really well for us. The average borrower, sometimes it's difficult to explain all of this to them. I don't know, when you spoke with Kevin, if you were probably on the phone for, I think you said almost 2 hours, and yeah. There's that degree of nuance, and it's tied into your taxes. It's tied into your filing statuses. It's tied into your corporate structuring. Like, how is your company structured? It's tied into your payroll system. It's tied into your, how you save for retirement. All the, like, in order to actually get your student loan plan, we have to understand all of that. So I could promise you, I mean, just think about it. Do you think that a $10 or $15 an hour employee that's there that has no financial education whatsoever, that works for the federal student loan servicer, that has no accountability whatsoever, is capable of offering that degree of financial advice? I mean, the question is just absurd. Of course that they cannot. There should be some type of licensing system, Jay. This is like, if there was something that I could form a lobby for, it would be to say there need to regulate and create licensure for people that help to help people with student loans. Currently, there is no licensure, which is why you have so many scam entities originating and getting shut down over and over and over again. And there's almost no one in business that has been doing this for any length of time other than us. And the reason why is it's so easy to appear to be doing all of the things and yet not be doing it. And it's very easy to not be compliant. It's very easy to like misgive information. It's very complex financial planning to work with people who are in debt. And it pays a lot more to make money helping people with money invest their money than it does working with people in debt, which is why, traditionally speaking, the information that you're going to get are either from people that don't really understand student loans because they're not incentivized to understand it and it's very nuanced, or from banks that want you to refinance, and that's going to be the way that that PR is tailored. This is not the common message that you're hearing. Like, you should be hearing people have a 0% interest rate right now and then eventually could have all of their loans forgiven. And there's something called an IDR one-time account adjustment that's happening right now. Many of our clients are getting $400,000 or $500,000 forgiven all at one time. Actually, I had a client 2 days ago. She just did a testimonial for us. She was a naturopath. She's a naturopathic medical doctor. I met her in this way. And here's the crazy situation is she had loans from like 1998 or something that were from undergrad. And then she more recently got her, I feel less bad that your dogs are barking. Generally, this happens to me. She had, I think, like $350,000 of federal student loans for grad school going to becoming a naturopath. Now, the way that this new one-time IDR account adjustment worked is that she was able to consolidate those old loans with these new loans, and then automatically it aged them back to the original amount, and she had over $450,000 of loans forgiven. Like, was it intended to work that way? Probably not. It's just the way it works. But you're saying, well, wait a second, had she not met us, she would still have almost $500,000 of loans growing at whatever 6.8% interest. And like, just, she happened to know you. So she just got $450,000. And as crazy as right, the answer is, yes. Yeah, that's what happened. And that's what happens sometimes. You know, you find the right tax professional, they know exactly about your tax situation. You know, and you normally would have to pay a ton, and then you don't because they happen to notice something that you couldn't see, or the person you worked with before. You know, what if O.J. Simpson didn't have his attorney? Like, what would have happened then if you had a public defender? You know, probably not the same outcome.
It's a degree of. On that call yesterday corroborates that it is pretty unbelievable what you're able to do if you understand the law, understand what they wrote in the documents outlining the save plan and the payee plan, the stuff that nobody cares to look at their own, or they look at it, but don't feel confident to act on those things. So for people who-
It's very boring, Jay. It's so boring. You know what I find is that the money is always wherever. It's so boring. Mm-hmm. It's like there's this wall of boredom and detail and acronyms and paperwork and follow up and follow through. Like, whenever you're in that area, you know, it's just, it's boring. And that's like where the work is, you know, that's where the gold is. You know, some might even say that's the alchemical term, right? It's like Saturn. What is the metal of Saturn? It's lead, right? Like, what is the goal of alchemy? It's turning that lead, that slow, boring dullness into gold, right? And in some ways this is it. And it's, and you know, I get it. Our biggest, you know, we would have lines, and we do. I mean, to try to book with us, I think we're booked out, I think, over a month just to speak with somebody at this moment in time. It's particularly busy right now with the loans becoming unfrozen. But a lot of people go, I'm surprised you're not even busier when they see what we do. And I think the reason for that is that there's a very comfortable, what word am I looking for? There's a very comfortable amount of skepticism that people should have when someone's claiming to be able to help them with their student loans, especially if they're highly intelligent and have done a lot of research on their own.
Yes.
They should be very skeptical of whether, like, I somehow have answers that they don't have, that they couldn't find on their own.
Yeah. And to that, I would counter with, I went into it skeptical too, because when you hear what's possible and it sounds too good to be true, the immediate reaction is skepticism.
Yeah.
But I felt the same way as a business owner when I started my first business and brought on a CPA. And he's like, you know, you can deduct this, this, and this. And if you restructure this to this, now your tax burden goes down 60%. And I was like, oh my God, this is too good to be true. There's no way this could work. And then you learn, yeah, this actually does work. This is the law, and this is written in here. And it's a pretty direct comparison, but for people that...
It totally is. It's like, well, wait a second. So you mean I could just start up another company and then that, like, I mean, it come down to the simple thing of like, wait, I could start an LLC and then that reduces my liability. But like, I just filled out some papers and made this entity. Like, how does that make me less liable? But like, I was like, no, that's actually what you're doing. That's why it's called a limited liability company, is it's creating separation. But well, what's the real separation? Like, it's just some papers. It's like, yeah. It's like, but wait, I'm just filling out these papers and then my loans dramatically, the effect my loans have on my overall finances is dramatically reduced. Yes.
Yeah.
That's like, what I'm magic. Telling you.
Crazy.
So I went to a medical conference once and I'd been told so many times, they're like, you're like a magician. Like, I can't believe this works. And I showed up dressed as a wizard. And I felt like the most appropriate thing, because I knew what I was going to be saying was going to sound crazy. So rather than like go up there and say all of these things that just sounded so out of what people have known, I'm like, I'm wearing a wizard outfit because what I'm saying should sound ridiculous. It should. You should be like, this sounds wild. Like, how? Like, how come I wasn't doing this? That's a big challenge for a lot of people. People tend to defend incoherence, right? They do something wrong for a really long time and they did a lot of research prior to doing it wrong. And then when they're presented evidence that they're doing it wrong, rather than like deal with the like shame that they've been doing it wrong and like they're just like, no, that just can't possibly be it. I'm going to just double down and just keep doing the same thing I was doing. I've had people I've had people stubborn. Like, I'm going to just pay this thing off. I mean, it's rare that it happens, but sometimes people are like, this is just too crazy. I'm just going to pay this off. Like, I borrowed it. I'm going to pay it off. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not here to make an ethical decision for you. You know, like if you feel good about paying it off, pay it off, you know? And some people do. They're just like, you know what? I borrowed it. I know that I could take advantage of ways to not have to pay back large portions of this, but I like feel like I should. And you know what I say? I say, do it, pay it off. If that's what you want to do. For me, I'm like, hey, you know, I had to take out debt. What does that mean? That means I was part of the debtor class, right? Which means I have to pay a premium for the same education that other people that got gifted this from their parents or something didn't have to pay. And in my way, I grew up poor. So I figured out whatever I could do to get myself ahead. You know, if I could get a grant, like, you know, I live on a 86 acre property in Hawaii right now. That's where I'm, you know, my humble background here, but in front of me, this is a very beautiful view with people working on construction to extend my office space here. But if I could get a grant for something, I will. Like, I'm not going to say, hey, there's this grant available. I'm just not going to take it because I could theoretically afford it. I'm going to continue to be a steward of the money that I have coming in. You know, I'm going to be a steward of my wealth. And for me, what's important is not just simply a return. It's doing really beautiful and good work in the world. And I think that I trust myself more with my money than I trust the government with that same amount of money.
I'm with
and that's
you there.
Me. Yeah.
My $7,000 per month that I would have had to be paying the government back over the course of 10 years, every single month, will go a lot farther with me doing some good with that $7,000 rather than giving it to the loan servicers.
Yeah.
So I'm with you, but I also understand there is the ethical dilemma that some people face. I borrowed this money, you have to give it back. And if you feel that way, I agree with you. Go ahead and give it right back.
And you know, I think that that's something that we all should individually have a choice to make. I know a lot of conservatives like really tear into people. You know, I call it pay your debt you deadbeat response that I get when I speak a lot of the different things that I do, or there's testimonials that my clients will give me, and then someone will chime in and go, pay your debt, you're deadbeat, especially on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram, not as much. Facebook in particular seems to attract that. I don't know, it's the algorithm or something. And I would just say, well, those people are not also, they're not being congruent, right? Because they're probably taking tax deductions. Like, they don't have to take the tax deductions. They could pay a flat tax. They could just say, I'm going to pay whatever tax bracket I'm in before any deductions. But they decide to take them because they're there. And these laws, whether we like them or not, are put into play this way. There's a quote that I'm noted for saying, is that when you're forced to play the rules, when you're forced to play the game, which we are all forced to play, we live in an economic global economy, and we're forced to play the game, we all have social security numbers or tax identification numbers, it pays to know the rules. And then the question comes in is, how do I learn the rules? Because the very simple playbook we're given to, like, pay your debt, you deadbeat, and like work really hard and then you succeed, that is not how the game works. The game has an extreme amount of nuance, and any simple, you know, Dave Ramsey approach of, you know, pay off your bills with the highest interest first, and then don't buy coffee, and, you know, invest the difference. That just, like, you don't need me to tell you that again and to beat it in over and over again, right? Like, that just clearly isn't how it works, and we all know that. You know, we know that there was a president of the United States, I'm not going to mention any names, that is quoted at least of saying, I don't pay any tax because I'm smart, which is a wild thing for a president to say, if in fact he said it, which I believe he did, which is not giving anything away of which president it is, because there's only been he's. So I think that there are signs everywhere that there's a specific set of rules that some people follow. And then there's another set of rules that are still legal. And if you follow them, you end up in a different place. I like to figure out what those rules are.
I like that. We're all playing the game, and the rules are very nuanced. And finding the rules to this specific game was not easy, but they're out there. So it's good
it
to
took
have
me
somebody
a while.
Who...
I started with, there's got to be some way to navigate this in a way that, like, benefits borrowers, because there's this crisis. What I've learned is, like, in business, if you could solve, it's a very simple way to find a business. Is like, if you could find a problem that people can't solve and you could solve it, you have a really great business out of it. And I just heard people complaining about student loans. I didn't have any student loans, as a matter of fact. Like, this, this was a business endeavor through and through. And I had to go through R&D. I went through a year of R&D trying to figure out how to navigate this stuff. And I started with calling loan servicers, reading everything I could find out online. I'm like, I'm going to read all this stuff. I'm smart. I'm going to figure out how to do it. And the more I read and the more servicers I talked to and more ombudsmans I reached out to, the more confused I got about how it was navigated. And eventually I started working with attorneys that actually worked in this space. And I got mentored by the head student loan attorney in the country at the time. And went through working with him every single week with specific clients. Like, what do they do? And then we would even, in theory, things work one way. We submit documents, and one servicer, you submit those documents exactly like that, Nelnet, for example, and they'll do one thing. You take those same exact documents and you send them over to Mohila, they do another thing. And it's at their discretion of what to do. So the Department of Education says, here's the rules. And then the servicers that are private entities. I think Mohila is a nonprofit. They get to interpret, right, how they perceive those, what the Department of Education is saying, and they interpret it differently. And then that's their, like, company. And then you have the individual person who is talking to you, or that information is coming across, and they may do something exactly like that, or may just ignore it. Yeah, I've seen all sorts of crazy stuff happen. And I think the term to remember here is, there's something, your loan servicer, and it's called servicer discretion. So what your payment ends up being is at the servicer discretion. What ends up happening is at the servicer discretion. What student loan tutor is really good at knowing is what each student loan servicer in every single nuanced situation, how they will perceive what their discretion will be. To know that is not written anywhere. Like,
that's crazy.
You don't know that until you see thousands of people, and it's not consistent. Like, we'll submit it, and they'll say no, and then we submit it again, and in a slightly different way. And they say, oh, okay, I see. I understand what that is now. This is what it is. And to know that piece is what's really important. It's like credit repair disputes, right? Like you could dispute a charge and the credit agency, they might not respond. And if they don't, it comes off. And, you know, is that fair? I don't know. Like you didn't pay the bill. Why is it not on your credit anymore? Well, because you disputed it and now it's off.
When I learned how credit repair works, that blew my mind too. But yeah, the loopholes and the rules across the board are interesting. So it's good to have a mind to dig and to try and find those answers. Zach, for the doctors and medical students who are listening to this right now, who is a good candidate to talk with student loan tutor? Is it just high volume student loans or do you work with everybody? Just doctors,
you know,
or other professions too?
I'll work with anybody with over $75,000 of student loans. I could work with anyone. I put that number there just because we charge a fee for service. And if I'm not, what I say is that you're going to pay me a small fraction of what I shove back in your pocket. So you're paying me with the bank's money, and a very small fraction of it. And I guarantee that, right? Like I won't, like, our agreement, our MSA is like, if you're not stoked about what I just did, if I didn't just take, you know, a dollar from you and give you $100 or whatever that number is, like, you're just like, that's why we have hundreds of 5-star reviews across all platforms going back almost 10 years. Like that's the reason. It's because we do that. Like if we were just like, hey, we could maybe save you some money. Actually, we couldn't. But thanks for your money. Like people would be pissed off. Right. Yeah, it's people with over 75 grand. If someone's a doctor, they almost certainly have over 75 grand in student loans. If you're a doctor, whether you're employed with a hospital system that's public service, there's public service student loan forgiveness. That's very nuanced too, which is pretty exciting. People think it's real simple. It's not. Or you work for a private medical practice as an employee. There's things to do with you do that. If you're self-employed, you have your own practice. There's even more flexibility of how you want to structure that. There's ways that we could do this dance in all of the different areas. So if you're a doctor or someone with over $75,000 in student loans, like we could almost certainly save you money on your student loans. Like even if you're somehow miraculously at that $0 payment right now and you've somehow figured out how to do it, you may have figured out how to do it this year, but we could help you figure out how to keep that payment as low as legally possible year after year. And we do all of the work. You don't have to deal with anybody but us. And our staff is amazing. And like, I don't know, I'll ask you, Jay, I already know your answer, but I mean, what was it like working with our team?
Man, Kevin, I talked to you yesterday and there's a reason that I'm doing this and I wanted to dig deeper. I was blown away, not only by, you know, the company, the service, but what you guys are able to do for me. I mean, this is something that I've been stressing about for a long time. And the results that you're talking about are exactly the results that Kevin showed me how I'm going to get.
Yeah. And it makes total sense to you, right? Like it's not like you're like, oh yeah. And it takes a while to explain all that. Like a lot of times that's why the wizard outfit, right? I get 10 minutes to talk. They're like, we need you to explain this in 10 minutes. I'm like, this. And then here's an example. And they're like, wait, what? How did you get there? Yeah. I'm like, well, that takes 90 minutes to explain, you know?
And I'm skeptical and I dug it checks out and the company checks out. And I'm just shocked that I haven't heard about this in medical school and before that. And it's a shame. And I'm hoping to change that. And thank you for taking some time to help me do that.
I'd love to speak at the medical school where you graduated. And we have done some talks at schools finally. It's hard because I'm like the Grim Reaper, right? I'm there to say, well, you got all this debt. And it's not all it's cracked up to be, right? It's, you know, medical doctors and, you know, doctors of osteopathy, like they make good money. So it's less scary for them to really admit it. But they are very prideful too, right? Most of the financial education, just business education in general, comes through this, like the older doctors, you know, they advise. Yeah. And the landscape 10 years, 15 years ago, student loan forgiveness didn't exist, right? So, and none of these plans exist, like 0% interest, that didn't exist. Like it wasn't there, right? So just realizing that, you know, you're looking at the doctor who is telling you what is best, and they're probably telling you the truth of what they believe, but what was true for them is not true now. Truth has left that place.
With that being said, where do you think this is going to go in the next 5-10 years with administrations changing, all these new rules coming up. You've probably seen a lot of rule shifts in your time. What's your prediction with where student loans go? Forgiven?
I don't think that they could forgive it all. I think we saw that in the fact that 10,000 couldn't even get forgiven. You would have to make education, like higher education, almost free. And then if it's free, now it's government run, right? So now it would be government regulated. They would be regulating what universities could do and charge. It would be a mess. And I think that that's worse than keeping student loans. Or you'd have to make student loans harder to get, which also doesn't make sense. I think what's going to happen is that these programs are just going to get more and more lucrative. And my hope is that they legitimize the industry of the free market. There's this thing called the free market, right? And like the free market should be able to serve the people, right? There's a demand, clearly. That's
Yeah, you're addressing a huge problem for a lot of people, and you've got a great solution. Right. Yeah, like CPAs, hiring a CPA. Yeah. Zach, this has been a blast. I'm going to link, what should I link? Should I link the Calendly to book a call with your team? How can people get in touch with you guys? Please do. Well, Zach, you got a great thing going. You're helping a lot of people. Continue to do what you're doing, and thank you for taking some time with me. Thanks again.